Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today I would like to talk about works of demons who try to destroy humanity, including Christians too. The Bible says that God's people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, millions of Christians around the world don't have any clue about demonology. They don't even know that demons are here on earth to destroy them. They don't even know how demons work, how they destroy people or attack people. That's why I have a burden to teach this issue so that God's people in our church will be protected and will know how to handle them, how to help the brother and sister that you know to be free, to be set free. I pray that you will be able to get the teaching parts of this series, other parts of this series, so that you understand the whole message or the whole subject about demonology. We don't want to be destroyed, therefore we need to study and learn. If you notice, a lot of people are killed by bacteria or infection or diseases because they don't understand how to protect themselves. They don't understand how to handle food, handle their cooking habits, and how they should protect themselves from sicknesses, from bacteria or virus. So the same thing, in the spiritual world, we have enemies. And those enemies will try to come in and destroy our life. If you look around in the society today, you can see that the devil and his army, which is composed of demons or evil spirit, try to destroy people's life all the time. They come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But lately, God really speak to me that God wants to give us an abundant life. God wants to give us a victorious life. God wants us to live on earth as a victor, not as a victim. He wants us to really have the triumph that Jesus has bought and paid for us already 2,000 years ago. In fact, a while ago, at the end of the worship, when we began to thank God for His love for us, I really sense in my spirit that God really wants to bless all of you. I just sense in my spirit, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that He is the King of all kings, He's the Lord of all lords, and you are the children of the King. You are the prince and princess of the King of the universe. And the Lord spoke to me a while ago that I will take care of my children very well if they allow me to do it. And tell my children that don't worry about their life. I will take care, I will bless them, I will protect them. But they need to follow my terms and my principle and my truth. Become diligent in studying the Word of God and be filled with God, and God fill your life by His Spirit. So keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep filling your mind with the Word of God. You do your part, and God will do His part. God, as the King, will take care of you. He wants to give the best to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you power and victory in your life. I just want to encourage you that when you seek God, and when you come to God, He will take care. I would like to pray and ask God to really speak to all of us. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we believe, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to all of us into our spirit today. And we believe, Father, that this teaching will change our life, will be the truth deposited into our heart, that we will be able to pull out as a sword of the Spirit in the future, to fight against the enemy and to retaliate and to destroy the work of the enemy, Satan and his army of demons. Father, we pray that the light of God will be shown into our heart. You will give us an enlightening to see what heaven wants us to understand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Christians are compared to cities. In other words, our life is like a city. The Bible says, he who rules his spirit, than, mean better than, he who takes a city. So he compared our spirit, our whole life, to a city. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Who is the mayor or who is the king of that city? If you are that city, who is the king of your city? It should be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't it you?
The Lord Jesus Christ should rule over your life.
Oh,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you look at the real city today, even though a mayor has been elected to be the governor or to be the head of that city, but in reality, not every citizen or every inhabitant of that city submit to the mayor or the governor. There are certain areas of the city that are still rebellious against the government. And you can see this in every single city, especially big cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York City, Tokyo, Jakarta, Bangkok. There are gangs and mafias, and those who still want to do their own things and they want to break the law, even though legally, positionally, the governor or the mayor is ruling over the whole city. The same thing in our life. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler or the governor of our life, he should be sitting on the throne of our life, and we submit and we yield to him, to his spirit. But not every Christian totally yield every aspect and parts of their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many parts in our life are still taking control of its own will and its own agenda. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Because of that, certain area of the city is still vulnerable or open to the gangster or the mafia group to come in and control that part of your city. In certain parts of the city, like in south part of Seattle or in the downtown Seattle, you will see people who are addicted to drugs and people who sell drugs, gangster, people who will rob you. The same thing happened in certain parts of Japan or in Tokyo or Bangkok or Jakarta. Some perverted things are happening in that part of the city. The same thing with our life. Demons are like bad spirits who will come in and will try to take control certain part of our life that we are not yielding to God 100%. Or we still try to take charge or control that part of our life. And that part may be physical body, our tongue, our eyes, our mouth, our finances, our relationships, our thought life, our emotions, our attitudes. Different parts of our life are like a certain areas of the city that whether we yield and give to the governor, his name is Jesus, and say, Jesus, you take control of this part of my life. Or we say, I want to be free. I want to be my own boss here. I want to steal the authority from you, and I'm going to take care of my own self. Then you open yourself in that area for the enemy to come in. In fact, mafia is a vivid picture of the demonic activity. Mafia works as a gang. Many, many bad people in the same gang try to kill, to steal, and to destroy the good citizens in that area of the city. The same thing, demons will come into our life like a gang. For example, if a person is attacked by a demon of alcoholism, I believe that he will not have only that one demon. He will have other demons as well. Maybe demons of sexual perversion, demons of lies, demons of hatred, resentment, anger, and even murder. The demons will come in and work as a team. As you understand this lesson carefully, you will see that it's very essential and very vital for our life and for our spiritual life to really say to God every day that I dedicate my whole life as a living sacrifice to you, that you can take control every part of my life, every area. You can come into my bedroom, you can come into my den, my living room, any closet, you can come in. Jesus, I give every part of my house or my city to you. When you step into committing some sin, for example, you watch a pornographic movie or picture in the internet or from DVD, that part of your body, the eyes, will be opened up like a wall of the city broken. You commit one sin. Actually, at that time, when you commit that sin, it's not a demonic activity yet. But because your soul, your mind, still control that part of your body, you say, I don't want to give that visual part of my life or the eyes to Jesus completely. So today, I'm going to be a naughty boy. I'm going to watch that movie a little bit. So when you do that, it's like what the Bible say a while ago, that whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So when you do that, that part of your life open up like a without wall. The demons will come in and start to dwell in certain part of your life. And those demons come in, I believe that the first demon who might come in may be the demon of sexual immorality. And then because of that part of your wall of the city, the wall of the city is broken, other demons can follow. Like I shared in the last session, in the last CD, that Pastor Da watched a TV program, the news, that a physician, a doctor, a medical doctor, was very addicted to pornography. Mm-hmm. This happened in America here. He watched and watched, and eventually, you know what happened? He hated his wife, and he was very unfaithful to his wife, and eventually, he killed his wife, murdered his wife. I believe that.
Wow.
A gang of demons come into him and eventually cause him to commit murder. That's why we have to be careful not to sin, because when you sin, the wall may be broken down and then demons can come in. But once demons come in, they will begin to entice you, deceive you, compel you, harass you, torture you, defile, or make things dirty so that you can sin more. And the sinful life will be expanded to the next and next and next and next one. And the condition of that person will get worse. I have seen even some Christians who seem to be on fire for God, come in, worship God, and eventually because they are not careful of putting the wall up and allow a demon to come in, maybe a demon of rebellion, start to gossip about pastor, start to think negative about pastor. And eventually the wall come down and more demons come in, and that person's spiritual life was shipwrecked eventually, gone. Never served God and have a lot of sicknesses and problems, and the family broke down. Very sad. That's why I believe that this lesson is very important to the local church and to people. Again, as I mentioned, that if you enter into a city, you will notice that in any city in the world, there will be different sections. And those sections of the city will have different characteristics of occupation, inhabitants, and even culture. Long time ago, in the Ballard area, there were a lot of Norwegian people. Or in Chinatown, there are a lot of Chinese. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or in certain parts of the town, there might be more Asian people. Another part, like close to Children's Hospital, there are a lot of lawyers and doctors and another kinds of group of occupation. Mm-hmm. On the east side, there are a lot of high-tech people, computer expert people. Mm-hmm. So different section of the town, there are different distinctive characteristics. The same thing in our life, there are different areas that demon can attack. And today, I would like to mention to you different areas of your life that demons can attack you. The first area, compared to like Chinatown, okay, or North Seattle, or Ballard area, or West Seattle, or East Side, Bellevue and Redmond. The first area I want to talk about is the area of emotions and attitudes and relationships. You notice that emotions, attitudes, and relationships are related to one another. You will have good relationship when you have good attitudes. I give you example. Fear is an emotion. Resentment, hatred, rebellion. Before I go on, I want to say this first. Heaven is a perfect place. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place before Genesis chapter 3. Before man listened to the devil or that snake, the Garden of Eden and the world was perfect. When I say perfect, mean no fear, no hatred, no rebellion, no infection, no cancer, no doubt, no unbelief, no fighting, no division, no broken home, no sexual immorality, no insomnia or cannot sleep, no arthritis or back pain or leg pain or irritable bowel syndrome, no short-sightedness, nothing. Perfect. Heaven is a perfect place. So anything that less than perfect is not of God. Are you following me? Anything that is less than perfect is not from God. And whatever is less than perfect have some influence or receive the impact from Satan and demonic power. So what I'll try to lead you to is this, that in the world, when you look at it today, when you see a lot of messy thing, hatred, war, discrimination, broken home, divorce, unfaithfulness in marriage, whatever you see, it come from two things, either man's sin or come from demons working behind the scene. So demons are working behind the scene to cause all this imperfect thing compared to God's glorious standard. So what I try to explain to you is that whatever you see in the world, no matter what kind, that is not found in heaven, there are demons relating to those things. Sickness. We just talk about fear. There are demons of fear. There are demons of resentment. There are demons of hatred. Demons of rebellion. Mm-hmm. So demon can reside or dwell in the area of your emotions, attitudes, and relationship. They can cause you to hate, to rebel, to be depressed, to be lonely, to have self-pity, to be envious, and to be jealous. So you have to examine yourself whether those kind of feeling or attitudes are your sinful nature, or they are the manifestation of the demonic attack. How do you know that what is going on in your life that is less than perfect is your own sinful nature or come from demonic attack? Very simple. If a sinful attitude or feeling keep happening repetitively, recurrent, persistent problem, despite your good Christian discipline. Go to church, read the Bible, repentance, worship God. You do everything you can, confess your sin. But the problem still torture you and still rule over your life. That is from demonic attack. Because it is your sin. You repent, you confess, you read the Bible, you worship God, you go to church, you get into fellowship. It's going to go away. Because those kind of Christian discipline or Christian lifestyle will help you to cleanse you, to be less and less sinful. You are following me? Yeah. You understand what I'm talking about? So as I mentioned, demons can work in gangs. I give you example. If a couple sin in the house, fighting, throwing stuff to one another, yelling at each other, threaten each other to divorce, the dad commit adultery, the mom drink alcohol, the whole house is in a mess. Definitely demons will come in and try to attack them, the couple. But at the same time, because the children have no wall of protection, because parents open the door for demons to come in, the children will be attacked too by a gang of demons. And that's why if you notice that children who come from broken home or the family that has very bad relationship or poor family background, those children tend to be rebellious against the government, against their teachers, against their parents. They are very emotional, lack of self-control. Some of them are very aggressive and very violent. And I believe that demons are working in them as a gang because the parents commit sin, open the wall, break down the wall of protection, and let demons come in and attack everybody. I noticed that since Pastor Da and I have been faithful to God, love God, we put ourselves in the fire of God all the time, allow the fire of God to come into the church, I noticed that my children have been improving every single year. I believe because demons cannot stay in my house and they have to leave one by one. I don't see them because I'm human. I cannot see the spirit world. But I by faith and by evidences right now, with my own observation, I believe that my kids are being set free. That's one of the reasons I teach the word without compromise, and I want to build the church on the foundation of the word, and I allow the presence of God, the fire of God to come into the church to burn the demonic activity out of my own house and your life and every member in the church. Amen.
Amen.
We need to repent very fast if we want to stay free. We need to keep our life clean, and we should only allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the governor or the master of every aspect of our life, including finances, emotions, and feeling and relationship. Is Jesus the master of your married life? Is Jesus the governor of your parenting? Is Jesus the master of your profession, your education? Let him rule everything so that the gang of demons cannot come in to be around in that area of your life. Let's look at the second area, the area in that city, your city, called the thought area, thought, the realm of the mind. There are demons that will attack your mind, try to throw into your mind, bombard your mind with wrong thinking. I'm not talking about emotion here. I'm not talking about the attitudes. I'm talking about thinking process now, such as doubt. Sometimes I have to pray for non-believers this way, and I see that it works. Some non-believer who never open to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I pray for them? I pray in Jesus' name, I command demons of doubt and unbelief to leave that person in Jesus' name. And after I pray like that for a while, suddenly that person hear the gospel again and, oh, hey, I understand now. I want to have faith in Jesus. The reason they cannot accept Jesus is because the demon of doubt and unbelief chain them, harass them, or empower their life, control their life. Or another area is the area of procrastination. The procrastinating mind. Keep procrastinating. God tell you to do something, you keep postponing, you never make a decision to do it. Or another one is compromise. Some Christian live in compromise. Oh, it's okay to cheat a little bit, to cheat the government, the taxes a little bit. It's okay to steal one pen from the company. Compromise. It's okay to just go out and drink in a nightclub today, just one night, it's okay. I think God understands me. The spirit of compromise can control a Christian. So we have to be careful. Don't let the devil to speak into your mind. Don't let demons to attack your mind. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God all the time. This is what I do. I listen to CD, sermon CD in my car. Every time I get into the car, I either worship God with a Christian song or I listen to the teaching CD. I read the Bible. I try to get into the Bible, the Word of God, all the time so that my mind will be renewed. When you fill your mind with positive thing and godly thing, it's very difficult for the negative thing to come in, like a cup. When you put in Coke, you cannot put in apple juice because it's already filled up with Coke. Is that right? The same thing if you fill your mind with the godly positive things, then the negative thinking of demonic realm cannot come and attack you. Christians who read the Bible all the time, listen to faith-filled, faithful teaching will be free from demonic attack. When I say faith-filled, mean the sermon should be full of faith, not the sermon that make you doubt. Faithful mean preaching faithfully out of the Word of God without compromise. Amen?
Amen.
So the second area of attack is the area of the thought or the realm of mind. The third area of your city is the area of tongue, the tongue. There are demons of unclean talk, sarcastic demons, gossiping demon, blasphemy demon. Blasphemy means to talk negative about God, to ridicule the things of God. Or lying demons. Have you ever seen people who have pathologic lying habit? I mean those who lie all the time, all day long. You know, whatever they say, you never be able to trust that they say the right thing. And I have seen those people in my life. I tell you the truth. I and Pastor Da have seen people who lie as a habit. I believe it's demonic. Even if that person repent and try to ask God for forgiveness, come back the next day, still lie again, that person is under demonic attack. Before I got into revival, into the fire of God, I know I have a lot of demons in me. And thank God in 1988, I was touched by the fire of God in Tampa, Florida. That day, God touched me. I was on the floor under a chair for almost an hour, crying. I know that that day demons came out of me. A lot of demons came out of me. I know. This is unusual cry. It's a cry of deliverance. And I noticed one thing that it changed my life big time. There are many things that my life have been changed by the fire of God. Because the fire of God or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes to the world to destroy the locusts or the demonic power in your life. The church that welcome revival or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will produce strong Christians. Even though you study the Bible a lot, but if you still have demon inside you, you will struggle to obey the word. So you need to kick them out. And one way to kick them out is to let the fire of God burn inside you. I want to testify one thing that before I was touched by the fire of God, I have one habit. And that habit sometimes is not, this is an evil habit that sometimes I don't even talk it out, but it's in my mind. I like to think sarcastically and talk sarcastically. So I believe that I was having sarcastic demon at one time in my life. That whenever people say something in my mind, I think sarcastically against you. And I want to even say it out, but sometimes because I don't want to lose friendship, I keep my mouth shut. But many times I speak it out. And that's one of the reasons when I was a boy in Catholic school in Bangkok, I lost all of my friends. I have about 40 friends in my class. I have only two left. Another 37 friends all hated me because I was very arrogant speaking. I was very sarcastic and I was very selfish person. So I lost all of my high school friends. Thank God, God saved me when I was in college and in the medical school. You can see that demons attacked me at that time, and I was living in that kind of habit all the time. My mind was not clear. My tongue was full of pride, prideful words, lying, gossiping, sarcastically speaking. I always say sarcastic words and make people mad at me. So I can be a witness of how God delivered me from demonic attack. So that is the third area. The fourth area of our life or of our city is the area of sex. There are demons of sexual perversion, homosexuality, masturbation, anything that is unbiblical. First of all, we need to understand that God created sex. God created man and woman. So sex in itself is basically good, not evil. It's not sin to have sexual relationship in marriage. The devil will come in to pervert or to make the good things that God created. You remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, He created this, He created that, and He said, it was good, it was good. So everything that God created at the beginning was good in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But after man yielded to the devil, demons come in to pervert the normal created sex into sinful sex. Like sex before marriage, selfish sex, taking advantage of the person of opposite sex. Homosexuality. I believe that many homosexual people are really attacked by demons of sexual immorality. Or pornography. I believe that if you keep getting involved with this thing, the demon of pornography will come in and entice your eyes to go back to that book or go back to the website again and again. It can become very addictive. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 13, and do not present your members. When Paul says members, Romans 6:13, it means your physical organs or parts of your body. Do not present the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. We should not use our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our ear, our hands, our fingers, any part of our body to entertain sin and to yield to demonic power in our life. Amen. Don't use your hand to go and take advantage of another woman. Don't use your eyes to look at bad picture. Use your members, your eyes, your organs to glorify God as an instrument of righteousness. If you make a decision to do like that, since you are a young person, your life will be full of blessing. Amen. Look at another area that the devil can attack you, is the area of appetite. The devil or his army of demons can attack your appetite. Again, appetite was created by God. Otherwise, you will not eat. You will not drink. Is that right? He created appetite, but demon can attack that part of your life, that area of your city, the area of appetite, and cause the problem of either addiction or loss of appetite. Have you ever seen a very thin, down to the bone person? Very thin. Because that person, a demonic attack, to lose all the appetite and don't want to eat, feel that, oh, if I eat too much, I can gain too much weight. I will not look beautiful. So these kind of people will not eat anything all day long. And they look very thin down to the bone. But on the opposite way, demons can attack your appetite on the extreme side, we call addiction. And when I talk about addiction, all of you will think about, oh, Pastor Lau, you're talking about alcoholism. People are addicted to alcohol. Yes, there are demons of alcoholism. You may think about drugs like morphine, addicted to OxyContin, certain drugs, Valium. Yes, there are demons of drug addiction. And they are very, very tormenting. Because if that person does not have the drugs on time, he will be very suffering and have a withdrawal symptom. Or you may think about addiction of cigarette. Some people are addicted to certain kind of odor or smell. I met one person in Thailand who was addicted to eat ashes. Very sad. Some people are addicted to certain weird thing. And I believe that those kind of compulsive behavior are demonic attacks. But a lot of time people may not think that gluttony is also demonic. Gluttony means addiction to food. Certain religious Christian may say, oh, you need to repent. You addicted to alcohol. But he himself who said that, put the hand in the cookie jar all day long, keep pulling cookie out from the cookie jar, and go to the refrigerator all day long and keep eating and eating and eating all day. Many times, these people start with the demon of depression and frustration. When you get frustrated or when you get depressed, for example, a woman may be very depressed and frustrated because the husband walked out of her marriage and went with another young woman. So she was mad, she was angry, resentful, frustrated and very angry to the ex-husband. What does she do? She need to find something to fulfill her frustration. So she either go to the martini bottle or she goes to a cookie jar. And eventually, demonic attack come in and she become either alcoholic or a glutton. So we have to be careful. We need to deal with the area of frustration by leading her to forgive her husband first. So that is the fifth area. Are you okay? The sixth area, the last area that demon can attack people, we call physical infirmities. Demons can attack your physical body. they can cause allergies, tumors, seizures, heart attacks, joint disease, blood disease, anything, eye disease, losing hair, skin problem. So demon can attack physical body, different part of the body. And that's why we need to resist the devil all the time and don't let them to come in to destroy our life. So now you understand that there are many areas of your life. I want to make a conclusion here. Demons attack those areas for the purpose of to kill, to steal, and to destroy. There are a few things in your life that demons want to make you handicapped. The first area, he can attack anything here. I'm talking about tongues and sex and physical body, thoughts and emotion. But whatever areas of your city that he, the devil attacks you or demons attack you, his attack will make this thing happen in your life. The first thing that happened to you, that may happen to you, we call internal personal harmony. I give you example. If the demon of low self-esteem attack you, or poor self-image, which attack your what? Your thought. Is that right? Or the demon of guilt, that also thought, or self-condemnation, or even confusion. What happened to you? You will not have inner peace at all. All day long, you feel bad about yourself, you feel depressed, you don't feel that people love you, you are not important in the church, I'm not valuable in the eyes of God. You have no peace, you cannot smile, you cannot function very well. It makes you really handicapped emotionally, and even sometimes physically, because your emotion will impact your physical body. Then you cannot eat, you have no appetite, your face doesn't look happy, then it impacts your job, because your boss will look at you and say, wow, my employee, this employee is not happy, maybe he doesn't like the job. So impact your promotion too. So demon will try to attack your inner peace. You will not have the peace of mind, because you are bombarded all the time with all sort of demonic suggestions. Doubt, fear, lies, accusation, condemnation, they invade into your thoughts and cause you to lose the peace of mind. One thing that happened to me, I know, is that before I get into the fire of God and became a Christian, I was not very happy. I was a man of worry. I was a man of negative thinking, very pessimistic. I hardly smile. And Pastor Da can be my witness. It's true. But now, I have peace of mind all the time. I'm happy all day long because I'm not under attack anymore. I try to keep my house or my city clean by studying the Word of God, get into fellowship, worship God, serving God, fill my life with the things of God all day long, get into the fire of God all the time. The peace of mind come back, and I can live in the peace of mind even in the midst of chaotic things out there in the world. The circumstances outside cannot impact you if you have the inner peace of mind. The second consequences or outcome of demonic attack is physical well-being. If the demons attack your physical part of your body, you will have problem with your physical well-being. You remember, Satan is a murderer. He likes to kill. So he can either kill you suddenly like car accident, bam, die, or commit suicide, the suicidal demon. Or he may kill you slowly. I have seen so many patients that have been attacked by demon. Unfortunately, these people are not Christian, or some of them are Christian, but they don't believe in the power of God or in demonology at all. So some of these people may be attacked by demon and have chronic, severe, medically intractable pain and did not even respond to any surgery. So they have severe pain, they have to take morphine, of big dose narcotic, and eventually they got divorced, they lost their job, they get into debt, they lost their home, and they lost everything. Is that death? That is not life, that is death. Is that right? No life. You lost money, you lost your home, you lost your husband, you lost your wife, you lost your kids. So the devil tried to kill you either gradually or abruptly by attacking your physical body. That is another consequences of the demonic attack. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to be honest and tell you the truth so that you learn how to protect yourself. And you can have faith that my God who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. And by faith, you live by faith and in obedience, you will never be attacked successfully by the demons. And you can live a healthy life in prosperity, in the blessing of God, with a peace of mind all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Another consequence of demonic attack on those areas of your life is relationship with other people. Relationship that is very harmonious is a blessing. But whenever the relationship is broken down, it's very draining and tiring and exhausting. You agree with me? Between 1987 to 1996, my relationship with Pastor Da was in the verge of divorce. It's very tiring, very difficult. Even though we live in the same house, and I was even a pastor preaching the gospel on Sunday, but at that time I did not understand about demonic attack. I did not understand about the fire of God. I just went through my daily routine Christian walk without depending on the fire of God and expelling the demon out of me. Our relationship was in a mess. And we both are sincere. We both love God, actually. Pastor Da, I love God very much. I love God very much. But we did not even know. We did not even know that we were attacked by demons at that time. So, demons want to destroy marriage, families, churches, homes, parents and children relationship. He want to break everything apart. He want to break friendship. You know why? He knows the power of unity. Psalm 133 talk about that when a community have unity, that community will be blessed by God. He knows Matthew chapter 18 verse 19. The Bible say, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. He knows 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, which say, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, mean with their wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. He knows that if he can attack the unity or the harmony in the relationship, number one, the prayers of that group or of those people's life will be hindered. Number two, that group of people will not be productive because they cannot get along. So the devil wants to destroy that peaceful relationship in any institution. One of the ways that he can destroy relationship is to compel you to say sarcastic words. He will attack you with jealousy spirit. So when you begin to jealous with one another, what happened? You begin to bite each other back and throw stone to each other. And relationship is broken. The last consequences of demonic attack. They attack different areas of your life, but this is the outcome of those attacks. The fifth one, the outcome is your adjustment to external circumstances will be damaged. What do I mean? For example, you get a new job in a new company. You want to do the best so that your boss will like you. You get promotion. You get the salary increase. You get into a church. You want to be a productive, faithful member of that church. You need to respond to the circumstances around you, new friend in the church, new pastor, new city, new workplace, new school, whatever. You need to always respond to the circumstances around you. So the devil will attack you to the point that your responses to the circumstances around you are broken. You cannot concentrate. You cannot smile. You cannot be happy with people around you. You cannot get along with people around you. When you try to do a job assignment, you try to do one thing, then you get distracted to do three more things. So your job is not done on time. Your homework is not done on time. Then you flunk the test. When you try to study to pass the final exam, demons may try to distract you to go to the internet to look at something not biblical. The devil try to destroy your productivity relating to circumstances around you. You can see that demons come to kill, to steal, and to destroy every aspect of your life. And one of the main symptoms of people who have demonic attack is restlessness. You can see that these people are restless. They cannot sit still. Their eyes are moving around. They keep looking around. They cannot concentrate. And you can look at how they dress, how they posture themselves. They tend to be restless, cannot concentrate. Their outward appearance start to go downhill. You see what I mean? They may not take care of their own hair, their own body, because they are so bombarded by negativity in their life, so to the point that they cannot even take care of themselves. I noticed that since I've been set free, I can take care of myself better because I can concentrate the things around me and to myself. It's so clear that the devil try to make you restless and cannot concentrate. I want to conclude this teaching that there are two ways that demons operate in people's life. One way is to attack that person from the outside, and another way from the inside. In other words, demon can be outside you and whisper to you and talk to you or try to attack you from the outside. How do you deal with that? The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 7, resist the devil. You need to say, no, get out of here. Go away from my life. I'm not going to listen to you. Don't touch me. In Jesus' name, you resist. Like when you walk on the street and you see a dog look at your eyes and wants to bark against you, you say, go away. And then the dog will run away. But if you pull back and step backward, the dog will know that he can take advantage of you because you are afraid of him. Is that right? So you are not afraid of demons, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. If they are inside you, what you do? You need to expel them. And we're going to talk about that in the next few lessons, how to deliver yourself from demonic power. Definitely one of the ways is to get into the fire of God and repent of your sin all the time. But you can get rid of demons by yourself. And we can talk about it in the next few lessons. I believe that this lesson is very useful to you and help you to understand. And I encourage you that you should listen again one more time, maybe even listen once a year to remind yourself. I have met a very good brother in Rivers of Life Church in Bangkok. He one day came to pick me up and he said, Pastor Lau, I need to listen to a sermon called Activities of the Enemy many times, because I know that I get attacked a lot. So I need to know how they attack me. I can fight with those attacks of the enemy. So it's good to learn how to protect yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Father, for your fire, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the church. When we are in the local church, we submit ourselves to the body of Christ. We are under cover, under protection. And we thank you, Father, for loving us and revealing the truth to us. We want to commit every area of our life to you, every part of this city in our spirit here. Father, we commit our tongue to you, our sex life, our thoughts life, our emotions and relationships. Lord, every area, our appetite, our physical body. Please come in, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord and Master and Savior of every part of our life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you. I will meet you again in the next lesson. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.